You want to, you can turn to St. John, 13th chapter. I was reading that this week. I was thinking about a willingness that seems to be lacking in our churches today. I think it'd do us well to reflect on. Maybe we could maybe spend time in prayer that the Lord would help us to be as Simon Peter was here at this moment. It said, if you want to, the 13th chapter of St. John, the 8th verse, Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean ever with, and ye are clean, but not all." We was reading here, Simon Peter questioned the Lord in the 6th verse and said, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Of what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And I think it's just the way the Lord was working here is the way He works in our lives. I don't think that Peter, nor any of the other 12, or any of the other 11 disciples, understood exactly what Jesus Christ was doing. But Jesus Christ was looking for one that would be obedient. He was not looking or seeking an argument, not looking to explain himself fully to his disciple, but that he wanted to perform this this washing of the feet to his disciples. And Peter seen it as in him stooping down beneath that which he was, that he was the Savior of the world. He was the leader of these disciples, and Peter's thought in his mind, "There's no way you're going to wash my feet." But the Lord said that there was no way that Peter could have part with him unless he said, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And I think that today that we need to understand that simple vital truth that without the Lord washing us, that we'll not have no part with Him. We're not talking about the washing of the outside of the body, but what we're talking about is the washing of one's heart. And if we give our heart to the Lord, then surely we'll give Him our feet, will we not? We'll give Him our hands and we'll give Him our head. I like what it says here when the Lord said, "What I do thou knowest not now." It's what it is. That's why it's called faith. When we look to the Lord, we don't begin to understand sometimes what He asks of us. But if we're washed by Him, we'll find ourselves to be obedient children. I think that's as we see here. Peter said, "Lord, that not only my feet, but my hands and my head." I believe if we give Him our heart, the Lord will also on our feet. He'll tell us, "Now listen, you're going to have to do as I commanded you." And if we busy our feet, if we give Him our hands, then we can give Him our head. That's what the world seems to like today. It seems like they're satisfied declaring to the world that they give their heart to the Lord. And I understand Him. That what He also wants is to wash our feet. What He wants is us to give Him our hands and to give Him our head. We can't seem to comprehend sometimes the things that the Lord would have us to do. But if we would yield ourselves to Him, it is our head a lot of times. It is our mind that is the last to be, as it were, given unto the Lord. But if we would allow Him, if we would follow Him, as we were speaking in Sunday school today, it is hard, is it not, to be obedient to somebody that we don't trust. But I want to tell you, God is a God that we can trust today and tomorrow. It seems like in this world that we're bombarded
of the attractions of this world. We become such a visual, world. Why, your phone, you can get pictures on it, and it can take pictures. We see billboards everywhere. Down there in Springfield, there's a billboard that's constantly changing from one advertisement to another. Listen to me now. Sin's been the same as it's always been. But it seems like through technology that the devil's using it all the more. But I'm thankful God's grace is sufficient. It was yesterday. It was for my grandfather. And it will be for us in the future. If we just be as Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Jesus said, if I wash you, speaking of our heart, we need not to come under some physical water. But I want to tell you, if you're willing, if you get in your heart, you'll be willing to do just that. You know, there are those that teach it's not necessary for us to wash each other's feet, that this is not what Jesus Christ was trying to communicate here, but that we must be willing. We must be willing to wash each another's feet. Well, listen to me now. If we're willing, at some point we'll do it, will we not? To say that we must be willing, but never doing is to stand and to do nothing. That's where the world's at today. They say we must be willing to do this. We must be willing to do that if we're a child of the Lord. But it's not necessary. But I want to tell you, if you get in your heart, you'll not only be willing, but you'll be doing. I'm afraid today, this is a simple truth, that people is lost. I'm afraid Darrell preaches it all the time. I wonder and I question in my own heart, why is it we sometimes sound like a broken record? Is it because it's not in the knowing? We know, church, what we need to be doing, but it's in the doing that the Lord gives us enlightenment. It's in when we give Him our feet and we give Him our hands, then He can see with our mind the work of the Lord. We walk in darkness, I'm afraid, today, because we are unwilling to do that which the Lord would have us do. We're ignorant of His ways, not because we don't know what He would have us to do, but we're ignorant of His ways because we refuse to do that which we know. Because when we do it, we'll begin to see why the Lord would have us do these. We'll see the wonderful benefits of walking in the ways of God. I can tell you, this is what you ought to do. But you can go away from here and say, this is what I need to do. But until it gets done, we'll not understand what the benefits are. I will not be able to see. As Jesus said, you'll not understand, but you will. I'm looking for the day that Darrell can meet face to face with the Lord. And I want him to say, Darrell, this is why I had you do what you did. Darrell, this was the purpose of it all. That's why we are creatures created by an almighty God. That is to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm afraid today there's so many people that are promising, you know what, come to the Lord so you don't have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That ain't what the Lord told us. He said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The church is people walk through that valley. It's not that we should run and flee that which the Lord would have us to go, but we need to trust Him that it is in the valley that we have no fear, because we know He will lead us through to the other side
But unfortunately, there are so many that is fleeing heartache and fleeing, as it were, discomforts in life because they think that God's children are those that don't suffer, or those that don't experience misfortune. Do you know that there are those that if they see a person suffering because of the afflictions, you know, years past, you could take a position here in the United States that people lost men as well as Christians would have to agree with you, but now you take that same position and you'll be persecuted not by the lost as much as by the church. And I speak about the unchurched, the organized church, those that have knowledge in their mind but yet possessing none in their heart. We can see it, and it's only going to get worse. God's people are going to realize if they ain't already, I'm going to be a Christian, and not because it's an easy road, but because I want to follow Jesus. I'm going to be a Christian there at the foot of the cross, as well as on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to be a Christian gathered in the room when, as it were, they were trembling, not knowing where or what the next day behold. But because we have the blessing of hindsight to see that the victory is already won, because it was won at Calvary. A girl can suffer hardship and be alright with it and be content with it. Why? Because I've got a reason to hope, and His name is Jesus, and He's told me that He goes away to prepare a place, a place that He's been working on over 2,000 years. I reckon I can experience a little discomfort in this world to be able to go there. Oh, we spoke about it last week. Oh, where is the gratitude? We see today that there is gratitude lacking in this world. The church's houses are empty where they preach the gospel, and they're full where they preach another doctrine. But I'm afraid that if we were grateful for what the Lord had done, every time the doors are open, we'd be there. Why? Because of what Jesus done for me. Someone didn't deserve it. And it says in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God." You know, just as Jesus Christ spoke here, where we were talking, where He was talking to Peter, and He said, "He that washeth need not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith, and ye are clean, but not all." You know, we can have the Lord clean, wash our heart, we can give Him our heart, but to walk in the filth of this world, you can't help but get your feet dirty, can you not? You know why? We live down there on the farm, and when it rains in the spring, it gets all muddy. And to come to church, we got to open two gaps, and you just can't help when we've had a gully washer. You can't help but getting mud on your feet if you got to get out and open those gates. That's the way it is walking through this life. You know, it's just the nature of man. Though man might give his heart to the Lord, it's the nature of man because of the fleshly desires that he would condescend. Though Jesus Christ would lift him up with His Holy Spirit, it's the nature of man to be as that old hog that
Kurt returns to his the water and in the mire. It's just the nature of man to be as that dog returning to his vomit. That's why the Lord is telling us that we need to come out. We need to be separate, having these promises then. Let our cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Listen, we've gained our heart, but no devil's fighting for our mind. And the way that we battle him is the first. Let the Lord wash our feet. Let him dedicate our feet to the working of the Lord. But sometimes we don't understand why the Lord would have us do something. But let us still let him wash our feet. Let us be a feeder. Say, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands. And then when we give him our hands, then and only then sometimes will our mind be free to understand the things of God. But if we are saturated with the filth of this world, how can we hear that still small voice? I pray to God that he would show us mercy, that through the thunder, through the earthquake, through the fire, that he might prepare us to hear that still small voice that Elijah heard. Oh, it is the fire, that it consumes all things. I pray that the Lord would give us a revival. Oh, I don't know about you, but I need a revival. I don't know about you, but Daryl wants to get up in the morning and feel the stirring of the Lord. And I understand I can only do what I can do. The Holy Spirit to move upon our congregation. Listen, sometimes we think that there's a certain method, and if we do this, and if we do that, and if we do this, then we'll have revival. I want to tell you, we need to prepare our hearts for revival, but without the movement of the Holy Spirit, all we'll have done is have a message. That I'm thankful that the Bible tells me that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So then let us pray. Let us prepare our heart for revival. But then let us plead, Lord, move upon our congregation before it's too late. What are you willing? Are you willing to give him your feet and not your hands? Are you willing to give him your hands and your feet but not your head? I want to tell you, we need to come to a place where we can say, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. But Jesus said that you won't understand. You knowest not, but thou shalt knowest hereafter what the purpose of all of this was. And Peter said, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. This is something that Peter desired, but yet we find Peter out there when Jesus Christ was crucified. Disciples come, and you know what? Peter was a fisherman. You know, I imagine that before Peter met Jesus Christ, he was a man of the outdoors. We know that. He was a fisherman. And I can imagine that when hurts come in his life, of things he didn't understand, he went fishing. I don't know how devout he was and if he ever seeked the God Almighty's face before he met Jesus. But you know, that's the way a lot of people are. They have something in their life that when troubles come, they revert back to it, or they go to it, and it is their, as it were, their place of safety. And for Peter's it was going fishing. When the disciples ask him, "What are you going to do, Fisher?" Peter, he says, "I go a fishing." There he was out there on the ocean, and Jesus Christ said, they seen him there on the shore, and they come, and Jesus said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Lord, you know I do." He said, "Feed my sheep." Listen, when Peter said, "You have my, Lord, my feet, my hands, and my head." At that moment, Jesus just wanted his feet. But when we see him at the shore, he wanted his hands. He said, "Feed my sheep." A little while later, he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" The Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you. I love you. I gave you my heart and I gave you my feet." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Listen, he wanted Peter's hands, did he not? He wanted him to feed the sheep. That's what all of us, if we grow in the Lord at all, he's going to require more of us today than he did yesterday. And so that's why some tarry, as it were, in the valley of decision and said, "Lord, I give you my heart. Why do you ask for more?" Because my God is a consuming fire. He's not satisfied with tiny pieces of our life, but he come to save and deliver our body, soul, from hell. He come to deliver us from the filthiness of this world. When there are those that say, "God, you're all that I need," and then yet they leave, refusing to give him their hands. When they go to church, they religiously theorize. Yes, we must be willing. We must be willing to give him our feet. We must be willing to not only, as it were, allow Jesus to wash our feet, but we must be willing to wash our brother's feet. And everybody sits around and says, "Yes, this is what we must be willing to do." But where revival starts is somebody says, "May I wash your feet?" Because if you're truly willing, you know, we have a volunteer army in the United States of America. It's one of the best armies in the world. It's not always been so that we had a volunteer army. When my father was a teenager, they had a draft, but now it's strictly on a volunteer basis. But you know what? We are able to enjoy freedom today, not because men sat around and said, "I'd be willing to go," but because they said, "I am willing to go." And they go. You know, I've never been a part of the military. But you know, I think that the only person that can fully understand that commitment is someone that's made it. Wouldn't you agree? I'll have to tell you right now, I'm going to be 38 this year. And if there was some foreign invader that come into the United States of America, you know, I have a few guns, and I'd have to do a lot of praying. But if it come right down to it, to protect my family, you know, I'd not only be willing to go, but I'd go. Well, listen to me. I'm afraid that today we don't see that we are at a war. And not a war of flesh and blood, but of principalities. A spiritual war. A war that is being fought and been fought in high places. And it seems as if there are so many saying, I would be willing to go. And the ranks stand empty because no one is willing to go.
to theorize and say, yes, this is what I do, is just words, and shall we say, and be fair to say, just religious talk. Having therefore these promises that Jesus Christ has made to us, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us understand. You know, I think that so many times people have, it has escaped from them of the depravity of man's soul. You know, there's a lot of people that even sit in church pews today that have a misunderstanding of who we were before we found Jesus Christ. And you can ask them and they'll take issue. I had one woman in particular that she thought people were basically good. And because of it, she had made a lot of foolish decisions in life. Because she trusted evil people that she should not have trusted. But we know that the Bible teaches us different things. If people were basically good, well then Jesus would not have had to come. But Jesus didn't just come for those 10% in the world that are vile and wretched. But He come for all mankind, because all of mankind is vile and wretched. It says in Psalms, the 58th Psalm, the 3rd verse, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. It's vitally important that as with our children, that we teach them to be honest, to grow up to be honest men and women. Because if we ever have lived in a day, and I could be wrong, I've just got my own experiences in this life, but I tell you what, it's not to be ashamed at all to be considered to be dishonest. We see that there is politicians that have no problem to say one thing to get elected and do another. Used to call somebody on it, and not even so far in the past. Do you remember when it was the first Bush, he said, I will not raise taxes. There will be no new taxes. Well, guess what? When the next campaign, they played that over and over. And what were they saying? They were saying, here is a dishonest man. Here is a man you can't trust. And some would say that that's caused him to be defeated. And then not even a half a decade later, we find where one pretty much tongue-in-cheek says, well, depends on what the definition of is. That he was crafty, that it's all right to lie as long as you're good at it. And once again, the population made it a judgment that this wasn't so bad after all. We live in a world where everybody is considered a liar. Bet you only believe them when they say it, but don't be disappointed when they don't do it. And don't hold them accountable for it. And you know what? They ain't too far from the truth. Because the Bible says, as we've already read it, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And the biggest lie of all, no doubt, is that men are basically good. We see it more and more today than ever. Turn on the news. This week we heard about a woman that embezzled a bunch of money. And, well, it wasn't really a bunch of money. There's another man, he was a mayor, just resigned from a town because they caught him on camera stealing a bunch of diesel fuel, and I guess he moved around some money, and it wasn't really that much. I mean, to be a man in a position of an elected position, I think he only stole $500 or maybe it was more than that. But at the time, I could just remember thinking to myself, Why? Why would he do that? Throw everything away? Because he was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a thief. You know, we tell ourselves that thieves steal so that they might be rich, that they might gain wealth. But in actuality, thieves steal because they're wicked. And they'd steal a dollar the same as they'd steal $5,000 because they're a thief. And we need the Lord. And when we come to Him, let us not be so deceived as to think that since I've gave my heart to the Lord, I'm okay. I can do what I want to with my feet and my hands and my head. Because the Bible teaches me that He wants all of that too. It says in James, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, that He giveth more grace. We've already mentioned in this week, or today rather, that it seems as if we are being bombarded with the visual allurements of this world more today than we ever have. But listen, we have access to more grace. Wherefore, He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So this is a beautiful truth that is found in God's Word, but yet a truth that you'll not found to be being preached in a lot of these what they call mega churches. They're preaching prosperity. They're preaching, well, if you are you sad? Do you want? Are you looking for happiness? Well, come to our church. But it is the true blood-bought church that has reason to mourn. To mourn not at the spiritual state of themselves, but those that humble themselves before God, that have given Him their feet, as it were, and their hands, and have washed them in the Word. They begin to clearly see God's plan. They've clearly begin to see how depraved man is. You know, today if we make the mistake of measuring ourselves up to a lot of preachers, we'll make the mistake that we're better than we need to be. We've heard how preachers have committed all kinds of not just what you would call moral sin, but just out and out breaking of man's laws to the point that they're arrested. If we make the mistake of measuring ourselves up to what the world calls godly men, we might feel better about ourselves than we should. But those that humble themselves and bow down before an Almighty God will measure themselves up against Jesus Christ Himself, the only true and pure and righteous sacrifice, of the only one in which we can make it into heaven by and only by His atonement and His blood. And if you have problems submitting yourselves to God Almighty or humbling yourselves, might you look in His reflection. And if that won't humble you, I don't know what will. And when we do, He will lift us up. And in our affliction and mourning and our weeping, we can find joy. A joy that the world don't understand. See my wife's brother. You know, there's so many of the world running around doing fun things. but yet they're not happy. And he was, for whatever reason, he didn't want to talk. He's lost, that's the reason. But he didn't want to talk to my wife, and I was going to say nothing to him. And I pointed him out to my wife, and we walked over there, but he wouldn't look at me, and he didn't want to look at her. And the woman came, and he says, "Yeah, I'll take these waiters here. Can I have these waiters in a different size?" And my wife said a few sentences to him, and then she said goodbye. And you know, no doubt he was buying those waiters so he could do something that was fun. Oh, the world is so busy, tangled up in doing all these fun things, but yet we are the most unhappy generation in present history. Families are in shambles. A lot of it's because the parents are so enwrapped in doing something that's fun. And they go from one fun thing to another, not realizing that Jesus Christ is the only one that offers everlasting joy. Let's get some song to sing. Does my messages sound like the same thing over and over? Sometimes when the Lord lays a message on our heart, it's like, Lord, that's just the same message presented in from a different direction. At what point was we as a church? Are we going to grow beyond being a knower and a hearer? So that we might be a doer, effectively used by the Lord. You know, have you searched your heart and said, Lord, what am I holding on to? God, if I give you my hands, but yet I'm still unwilling to give you my feet. The Bible speaks about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Are we struggling with giving, fully surrendering our mind to Him? Well, the secret is in what we're doing with our feet and our hands. If we are reluctant to obey Him because we don't trust Him, and sometimes it just takes walking out on blind faith. You know, there is a people that have come to the Lord and been in church for a decade, but yet they have very little past experience that they can reflect on. You know, when the devil comes to me and says, Darrell, you shouldn't trust the Lord. I can look at all that the Lord has done for me, all the things that He has showed me and that I have learned by obeying Him. But if we sit on that pew and theorize about what we must be willing to do, but yet unwilling to ever do it, we are caught as if it were in limbo between being churched and having a real, true revival.